This episode of Community Conversations comes with a content and trigger warning. This includes discussions of suicide, sexual abuse, racially motivated violence, domestic violence, death and dying, and mental illness, which some listeners may find triggering. It is also important to note that the views, opinions, and experiences expressed in this episode are those of the guest speaker and do not necessarily represent the views of City Arts and those involved in the making of this podcast. For information on how you can access professional services to get help for some of the topics discussed, please see the list of links provided in the written description for this episode. Before we get into the conversation, here's a little bit of information about how this podcast series came about. Hello, my name is Cizizo, and I'm the curator in residence at City Arts and the producer of Catalyst, a programme that has been designed in response to City Arts Black Lives Matter commitments and a series of conversations that followed. Looking back at the conversations, the group discussed events that followed the tragic murder of George Floyd and the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement. They also spoke about navigating the arts, their own practices, and their vision for anti-racism within the sector. One particular discussion that took place was one in which the group spoke about the people who had inspired them, both personally and professionally. And so I wanted to produce a series in which some of my favourite creatives from Nottingham could do just that for listeners, particularly for aspiring creatives of African Caribbean heritage. I also wanted the series to give an insight into the journey of some of these creatives, for them to be able to share their experiences about some of the wins, about some of the losses, and the things that drive their practices. Whilst it's also important to speak about racism, and we do cover that within the series, it was also important to give space for discussion outside of it. The experiences of Black people are not monolithic, and our identities are much more than the struggles and suffering of racism. The conversations will explore the guest creative processes, the 2020 anti-racism protests, and mental health. The podcasts will also look at entrepreneurship and the guest experiences of navigating the pandemic. Community Conversations is hosted by Rachel Wilcox. Rachel is arts editor at Left Lion, a Nottingham-based cultural magazine, and contributing writer for Black Ballad, a UK-based lifestyle platform that seeks to tell the human experience through the eyes of Black British women. Alongside writing, Rachel has a wealth of volunteer experience within the cultural sector. She currently works as arts marketer at New Art Exchange. Thank you so much for listening into Community Conversations. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, thanks for listening. My name is Rachel and you're listening to the City Arts Community Conversations podcast. In this episode, I chat with Michaela Spencer, the plentiful poet and founder of Truth Mental Health. Truth Mental Health is a creative mental health movement that provides one-to-one peer support and mental health focused creative events and workshops. In what has been a whirlwind of a year for everyone, the pandemic has really made us all vulnerable when it comes to mental health issues, but it's also exposed just how important it is to manage and address mental health. Michaela's work is truly inspiring. Taking her own struggles and sharing them with others, she's built a community from the ground up, becoming a real creative advocate who has provided so many with a voice and a light through dark times. We discuss how the arts helps us to express things that need to be set free, and we also talk about the impact of the anti-racist protests and Michaela's journey so far with Truth Mental Health. Throughout Michaela's work with Truth Mental Health, she's managed to offer people support as well as providing an opportunity and a community for people to be creative.
How did you get into poetry, and have you always been a creative person?
Always, always loved creativity, especially theatre. That's where I started off. I got a distinction in my drama in GCSE and then went on to do BTEC acting, a national diploma. In that time, I was also recruited into the television workshop. I did some work in London and in TV and film. And then I went to university and studied theatre arts, where I first wrote my very first poem. We was doing politics theatre. Was it Popular Politics Performance? That's what it was called. And it was about politics and at that time what's happening. And in that time it was around bedroom tax, when bedroom tax came around. And I forgot his name, it might be Ian, someone called Ian, maybe David Cameron was in there at the time as well. I'm trying to think back now. But and I wrote a poem on bedroom tax, and it was about the Queen. And I spoke about how they are measuring council house bedrooms and charging £17 for bedroom tax when the Queen has 700 bedrooms. Like, what about her bedroom tax? So I kind of made like a political poem about the Queen, and then it kind of just like went from there. I wrote another poem about my dad, and I only ever writ poetry when I was doing a module to try and change it up a bit. So like I had different scenes of like acting and surrealism and then activism and then all these like amazing topics and stuff and themes that I would jump back and forth to. And there was one thing that I never did, and that was poetry. So then I started putting poetry into my theatre. And then I kind of went from there, like just writing poetry, never really shared any of it. And then I started at a course it was the NGC, which is domestic violence and abuse, because I was a domestic violence and abuse and sexual abuse survivor. And I went there to study, to learn more about domestic violence. And there was a poet there called Mimi, who is actually my bestest friend now. And she started saying this poetry, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I've got some poetry, you know? And she was like, share it. And I was like, no, I'm okay, thanks. And the next time, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So then I shared it, and I was like, we need to record this, Michaela. And I was like, really? Like, what name could I have? And I called myself the prolifical poet at the start, and then I found plentiful, which it was kind of like I've got plenty to say. That's where I got the word the name plentiful poet. NGC then got funding for another project to write a book on survivors. So I was published before I even started. So that was like a massive push into the poetry community. We published a book called Survivors Speaking for a Change. It's on Amazon, and it's around domestic violence.
Why do you think poetry has become such a good outlet for you to use to talk about mental health?
Writing poetry and performing it to the world was a chance for me just to be free and not trapped in my own skin and feeling lost. As soon as I let that poem out, I'm like, I can breathe. And that for me has probably saved my life. It's more about the outcome of my poem. So I composed a poem, but what's my outcome of that poem is I want people to feel free. I've always got a recovery-based plan behind most of my poetry. What is it going to do for other people? And what is it going to do for me? It can make me breathe again. And it's my outlet. I can breathe. I feel freedom. That in that second of posting it, it's that them 10 seconds of hearing that ding. It's like that there is something that I won't ever be able to describe. But for me, that's why I'm still alive. And it sounds really, really intense, but that freedom that I have when I post a poem is what makes me continue on. And then the outcome of that is other women or other survivors, even other men, be able to then take what I've done with my poetry and put it into a recovery plan, so they can take their step into healing.
I asked Michaela why she thinks poetry has become such a good outlet for her and how she thinks the arts can help us all through tough times.
Every single time that you perform or you get involved in some sort of art form, you are taking that mask off and you're living in freedom. And
That's what art does. It gives you that freedom to explore, to create, to lead, to design, to write, to print, to draw, to paint. It's so much freedom. And when you are within a trapped mind, especially anxiety, bipolar, personality disorder, ADHD, all these mental health disorders, art allows you to finally be free.
Asking Michaela to tell us a bit about setting up Truth Mental Health.
I set up Truth Mental Health because my friend died by suicide. She was my neighbour and I grew up with her. And I went to an open mic event and it was at the Grosvenor Pub on Mansfield Road. And it was for the Hope of Hopewood. So Hope for Hopewood was the mental health hospital that opened up near Sherwood. They was doing like this beautiful, massive charity event. And a friend invited me and said, you should go and share your poetry. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I've got no one to go with. But I went on my own and there was NHS staff there and I performed my piece, which is Experts by Experience. And they was like, please come and show this to the NHS. Like, I think they would love it. And I was like, are you sure? Because like there was swearing and stuff in it. And they was like, no, like we need to hear it from your perspective, from the community's perspective. And on the way out of that event, I picked up a charity like booklet. They was doing loads of donating and stuff. So I picked up this leaflet and I went home and I was looking at it and I thought, I'm going to put on an event, and I just did it. I remember sitting in bed and I was going through like, I'm going to put on this event, I'm going to put on an open mic event and get people that speak about mental health, and I want to raise money for this charity. And I was just like, I'm doing it. And I was so adamant and I had no experience and I was like I did not know what I was doing, and I just went for it. Like, I literally just went for it. And we raised, I think it was £284, and that went to the Hercules ward at the Hopewood Hospital, which was the child and adolescence ward. And then I realized, like, I'm actually really good at this. I mean, it took a long time to find my feet. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I went to uni, I had jobs, but as soon as I did that event and as soon as I handed that money over to the hospital, I just knew that this is my purpose. We've developed immensely because we was just a couple of people that had never met each other before that all struggled with mental health, and we come together and we created this massive platform, and we had workshops and support groups and one-to-one sessions and open mic night and discussion panels and all these amazing things. Like, our come up in 2019 was absolutely outstanding, and it was the best experience of my whole entire life, except for me having my son. But I swear sometimes there's no words to say how I even did that and how we did that as a team. We've supported hundreds of performing artists, especially because that's where our events was like really a key point. And we did a lot of behind the scenes stuff and still do, but our events is what made us who we are. We've been to Manchester, we've been to London, we have worked with people in Birmingham, we have featured London record labels on our platform. We was just a little open mic in Nottingham developing. We went through the roof.
And also the spaces that you've used previously, how was it like getting those spaces organized and getting people into those spaces?
We've used loads of different spaces. We kind of used the Grosvenor Pub for so long, like the first year we was just there. I think the only other two, well, we did, oh yeah, so we used the Grosvenor Pub on Mansfield Road near the back of Clarendon College. We used there, and it was like, it wasn't the best place to hold an open mic. Like, it's a sports bar, so everyone downstairs is just so rowdy, and it's just, it was a lot, but it felt like home, if that makes sense. It just felt like home being there, especially because that was the first place that I met the NHS and did the events and the charity stuff. So for me, it just felt like home to be there.
I also asked her what kind of an impact does she think her open mic events and creative workshops have on people.
I can remember this one time. It was March 2019. It was called Motherhood. Motherhood versus Mental Health. It was an all-female event and we did it around Mother's Day. And I needed cash for the door, so I had to run out of the venue to go to the cash point. And there was this woman, and she looks lost, and she was just like, I thought, I hope she's coming to my event. Is she looking for that? Like, are you okay? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, can I help? And she was like, no. And I was like, well, I'm going to. I said, come on, you can come with me. And she's looking at me like, who is this crazy woman? Like, why is she dragging me up here? And I was like, I'm all smiley face and my big hair and my gold tooth. Like, I'm a character, do you know what I mean? Like, you kind of don't forget my face. And I can remember taking her into the pub, and then she could see all the pink balloons and the pink for the mothers, and like loads of smiley face at the door. Hi, two girls at the door. And she said, what is this? And I was like, this is an event and it's for females. And I thought I'd come. I thought that you might enjoy it. Just come on. And I popped her down with my friends that was at the event. I said, make her feel like she's at home. So they did, because that's what we do. She did fit right in. She was still very quiet and timid. And I can remember a performer going on, a poet, and she was speaking about sexual abuse and domestic violence. I can remember locking eyes with this lady, and she was just so heartbroken, and I didn't tell her that about the things that was going to be said. And I was like, okay, right, as soon as this poet's done, I need to go over there and make sure she knows that I'm so sorry if I've triggered her. Because we do say at the start of our performance, so this is a trigger warning, but we mean trigger warning, because it's called truth, and that's the only thing that's shared across our platform is the truth. And after the poet had finished, I said, right, everybody, 5-minute break. And I've gone over to her, and she stood up and she hugged me. I've got goosebumps. She hugged me and she said to me, you have saved my life. She said that she was going to commit suicide, and this event has saved her life. And I was like, even now, I'm still so overwhelmed. And we never signed her in, because I just wanted her to be somewhere safe. We never took her details. We just never, you know, it happened so fast. And we've never seen her again. But the fact that she said that, I know that she's okay. I know that's like, some people might not agree, like, how did you know that? But I just feel it in my intuition. It was one of the most, it's such a beautiful thing, but at the same time, I never seen her again. So when I think about this situation, it's sad, but it was something that will always stay with me. We have had so many people say, like, you don't understand how much I needed this, like, please don't stop what you're doing, like, grabbing me. I've had people in the street grabbing me like, you're a plentiful poet, and I'm like, I just want to go into Primark. And they're like, what you do is amazing. I also had this lady was behind me, and I kept looking back, and I thought, nah, just keep on going. So I was going and going and going and going and going, and she just popped, grabbed me by my arm, and I turned and I was like, yeah, because I didn't know, like, this, I was quite on edge, like, I felt that she was following me. If she hears this, she'll probably laugh her head off. And she was like, plentiful poet, and I was like, yeah. She's like, you run Truth Mental Health, and I was like, yeah. She took me to the crystal shop. She walked me around. She's like, I'm buying you a crystal. And I was like, I was actually coming here. A lot of female, good, amazing feedback from a lot of females, because it's me that runs the organization. So a lot of females can kind of relate to me, instead of like the males that are more behind the scenes. She brought me this crystal, but that was amazing. That was amazing to think that Truth did that. Truth made someone follow me and take me to a shop and buy me a crystal. Thanks, Truth. Do you know what I mean? But don't get it wrong. We have definitely had bad feedback too. Everyone has social anxiety that comes to our events. So they're like, we don't want to even go in there because there's too many people in there. So for someone that doesn't know me, that has mental health and has some really, really strong social anxiety, and then comes out to this event, and there is a lady there that's just smiling, saying, come in. People are like, oh, I can be a sensory overload. I know that I can be that. And I have reflected and tried to better the way that I present and cool things down a little bit, because I do get hyper. I'm being tested for ADHD, but I can say that and be honest about that, because I know that since anything that negative has happened within Truth, I've grown as a person, so my organisation will grow with me, because I've reflected back on their mistakes and learned and gained experience in the hosting world, the events world.
Mental health issues have previously carried a stigma that often leaves people feeling unable to talk openly and honestly about their situation. Michaela shares her thoughts on mental health awareness and breaking down that stigma.
Definitely think yes, we have broke down that stigma in the last 2 years. The word mental health means something now, and it seriously does. Before, mental health was so stigmatized that people wouldn't come near you in the street. Now, if you say you have mental health, someone will comfort you, even if it's a stranger. Like, I am so grateful and thankful for the people that have broke down that stigma and that have done their own projects and their own work and their own healing and recovery-based talk therapy to help people break down that stigma. I 100% think that we have. And of course, we've always got a long way to go. How long's a piece of string? You can never really say. The work now needs to be back into the clinicians and GPs and doctors and waiting lists and therapy. That's where the work needs to be put now. A lot of people are coming forward. Everyone's speaking up. We have organisations like mine, but what we need is community psychiatrists that are working alongside organisations like mine, or organisations like, in fact, any organisation, because now mental health has become a big part of everyone's organisation. I can remember at the start when we started mental health, Truth Mental Health, it wasn't spoken about as much, but now it's in everyone's dialogue because it's so important, and it's heartbreaking to see how many people have mental health, but it's also so warming and comforting knowing that you understand me. So yeah, we still have a lot of way to go, and yes, we have broke down the stigma, and I think more work within the private sector and the NHS, the national healthcare and things like that, I think that's where the work needs to be put now. But also offering more training courses for people in the communities, community leaders that will need to be more advanced in mental health. So offering that, if it's a big corporation that does the mental health first aid and stuff like that, offering more of that to people like me and other organisations that are doing stuff with the community, to then have us be educated, so then we understand it more, so then we can try and do as much as we can while they wait on that waiting list to see that psychiatrist.
Michaela spoke about her thoughts on how the death of George Floyd and the anti-racist protest affected people's mental health.
I think when George Floyd died and it was over the social media, I think that was a massive trigger to everyone that's in the Black community. And it caused so much heartbreak. And I feel like everyone was at a point where they had got so used to lockdown, and then this big thing came and destroyed so many lives. And it was around the world and cities, and I was all coming together and protesting, and people just didn't know how to react to that. I remember having the Arts Council Truth Digital session, and there was a lady from London that came, and she became very aggressive to the questions that I was asking, even though the theme wasn't around Black communities, the theme was around mental health. And all of her questions kept coming back to the protests and George, and I was trying to swift her along just because of the topic. I didn't want to just cut her off or anything, but it was the fact that the topic was just not for that time. And I could hear in her voice when she was talking, She was just heartbroken, she was sad, and she was angry. And everyone could feel it that was watching. And even herself, she came back a few weeks later and said, I really want to apologize for the way that I came across online. She said, I took the theme away because I was so heartbroken over George Floyd and what's happening to my black people, my black community, that she sidetracked an event, an opportunity. And I gave her a next chance to come back on and kind of express again in a different light. But I think it caused heartbreak and it caused division and hatred, a lot of hatred. And the hatred probably wasn't coming from the black side. But the media and the social media, it didn't make it better. And I can even remember thinking, I can't watch this video. I will not, I didn't watch the video. I didn't share anything. And I kind of really just paused. And a lot of people said, how come you haven't said anything yet? Or why didn't you go to the protest? I was actually asked to perform at the protest, but I just wasn't ready to be out. At the same time, we'd just been in lockdown for so long, and I just wasn't ready. And I tried to support as many people as I can through my organization, through the support groups, because we did some BME support groups. And it was a lot of confusion. But I think like the main thing that it caused was heartbreak, and with that comes even more mental health.
Despite the ongoing lockdown restrictions, Michaela is still busy with Truth Mental Health. Coming up, they'll be running meditation classes, creative men talk events, female support groups, a soup kitchen, and open mic. Her hard work and dedication to sharing the arts and supporting others is uplifting. Many thanks to Michaela Spencer for sharing her experiences with us, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Until the next episode, goodbye.